Alright, so today we're actually going to start learning Hilchas Nida. Last time we just really was a Shir Psicha. This is more of an introduction. Simcha Fei Gimel in general is an introduction. Because I wasn't abundantly clear what the goals of the Shir are going to be, just to very briefly tell you, the idea is to accomplish three things. There's a lot you're going to see in learning through the Torah, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach Taz, going back to the sugyas, learning through the Gemaras. There's a lot you're going to see that requires a little bit more background information than you could necessarily find jumping off the page at you. So goal number one is, if there's background information, to try to provide that to the extent that I know it, to try to provide background information. Second goal is to try to highlight and organize the important points in the sugyas and in the Beis Yosef and in the Shulchan Aruch Nosei Kelim. And the third thing is to let you know what other poskim say and what more contemporary poskim say and what the issues are. So those are the three basic goals what we're going to try to accomplish. So today what we're going to try to do is just describe the difference between Nida and Zava, based on the way the Rishonim understand it, the difference between Nida and Zava, and in terms of how one becomes a Nida versus how one becomes a Zava, as well as L'may Nafka Mina, whether one is a Nida or a Zava. Right? Well, either way, she's Tamei. Right? Either way, she's Asura Labayla. So, by the way, from here on, even though the last year was all about Tumah, every time we say Tamei, we just mean Asura Labayla, because we don't really care if she's Tamei anymore. Meaning the Tumah element doesn't really matter to us all that much in terms of Halacha, unfortunately, Bizman Hazeh. So when we're going to use the term Tamei, that's the term that we use, because she in fact is Tamei. But that the nafkamina for us is a Surah Labayla. But l'may nafkamina between a Nida and a Zava on a Daraisa level. And if we have time today, I'd also like to get into how we get from all of these Dinim Daraisa to what we assume now, the series of steps that takes us from there to here. Right? So let's start with the basics. There are two separate psukim in the Torah that describe a tumma that happens when blood comes from a woman's uterus. The physiological reality, physically what's happening in her body, is the exact same thing whether she's a Nida or a Zava. It's purely a timing issue. The shedding of the uterine lining and the blood that emerges as a result of the shedding of the uterine lining is what defines this tumma, both tumas Nida and tumas Ziva. It's purely a timing issue to figure out what is what. One pasuk in the Torah is in Parshas Metzora, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Yotes, describes Nida. It's a little bit tricky because the Torah uses the word Zava, but it means Nida. It means Zava in terms of flow. That Nida involves Isha Kiya Zava, Dam Yiya Zava B'Bsara, Shivas Yam Tiya B'Nidasa, V'Kolanogea Ba Yitma Ad Erev. That Shivas Yam Tiya B'Nidasa. The halacha of Nida is when there is a flow from her body, she is tummy for 7 days. How long does that flow last? The Torah doesn't say. Why does the Torah not say? Because it doesn't really matter if the flow lasts for a second, a minute, a week. As long as it ends before the end of the week, she's tamei for a total of 7 days. That's Nida Midaraisa. So a woman gets her period, wakes up on a Sunday morning, and discovers that she got her period. She can continue bleeding Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. As long as before Shkia on Shabbos she stops bleeding, she goes to the mikvah on Motzai Shabbos, and all is good. She is now Tahora. This comes along the Pasuk a few Pesukim later, in Pasuk Chaf Hei, and it describes a Zava. The Isha Kiyiz of Zov Dama, Yamim Rabim, below Eis Nidasa. Very important phrase. Yamim Rabim. What's Yamim Rabim? Many days. How many days? So the Gemara Darshins, it's going to be 3 consecutive days. Below Eis Nidasa. What does below Eis Nidasa mean? Not when she's Nida eligible. Meaning there are times that you can mark off on the calendar that are not Nida eligible days. The same exact physical thing that's happening to her body, but it won't make her a Nida. Instead, it will make her a Zava. And the halacha is that below is now okay. Tizov al nidasa kol yimezov to masaki meni nidasatia tmeah. She is tmeah. So let's understand how this timing works. So first of all, the Gemara tells us, and there's no source for this halacha. There's no limud from any pesukim, but the Gemara needs the dafayin based on base tells us that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah comments to Rabbi Akiva. The context of the discussion is a little bit different. It's really about something else. He says, "Afilu atamar b'beshemen kala yom kulo." You're going to start quoting me psukim that say the word beshemen and start telling me how much oil you need for a carbon toda. You could do that all day long, but any shameyalach el chatzi log shemen l'toda. I'm not going to listen to you because I know that the galach l'moshe v'sinai that you only use a chatzi log shemen for a carbon toda. Urevius yayin lenazir, and the shear of yayin for a nazir is a revius va'achada soyom shve nida lenida halachu lo shemisinei. So the first two of those details are totally irrelevant to us. I mean, they're relevant to something, but they're irrelevant to us. The third one is very important. Va'achada soyom shve nida lenida halachu lo shemisinei. So where do we get this idea that there are 11 days in each cycle in a woman's cycle that are zava eligible days? Where if she sheds her uterine lining, she's going to become a zava and not a nida, it's halach l'moshe misina. So the thing is, it's somewhat counterintuitive that there should be 11, right? Meaning if there's 7 days of nida and then 11 days where she's zava eligible, that would make a total of 18. What's the average cycle for a person, for a woman? 30 days. The Gemara says, on a baby, it's called 29. Well, we would call 29 what the Gemara calls 30. Right, because when the Gemara says 30, it means counting both extremes, right? Counting the time she got her last period and the next period. Like the way Rabbi Eli Storch likes to say, I have 5 fingers between my thumb and my pinky. I mean, if you count both. But you could also say, I have 3 fingers between my thumb and my pinky, or my pinky is 4 fingers after my thumb, right? So in English, you would say, like, the 30th of January is 29 days after the 1st of January, right? But in halachic terminology, we say 30 days, right? That it's considered 30 days. So anyway, that's what Shasta told me, that he said he was reading Reader's Digest, and when he was younger, when he was a bachur, I think, and he saw in Reader's Digest that the average woman gets her period 29 days. And he went over to Rabbi Tendler at the time and said to Rabbi Tendler, there's a problem here, because we assume on a bainanis, we assume the average is in halacha, and we'll see how that comes up, la halacha, is 30 days. So if the mitzvah has changed, then the halacha, maybe this is one of those cases where the halacha should change. And he said, Rabbi Tendler looked at me and he said, Herschel, for such a smart boy, that's a really stupid question. So he said, don't you see, in Reader's Digest, they're speaking English. In halacha, we're speaking the different, they're saying exactly what we say. I mean, when they say 29 days later, that really means 30 days, what we call 30 days, meaning January 30th is 29 days later than January 1st, but we would call that a 30-day onabeninus, right? So that's the that's what you would expect if we're working off some sort of cycle. You would imagine the numbers would come together to equal 30. They don't, right? The numbers come together to equal 18, and that begins the discussion. That's not the basis of the discussion, but at least helps us appreciate a little bit more the impact of the discussion of when these 11 days come up. Right? When do they end? When do we restart the Nida days? How does all of this work? So the Torah says it very, very clearly, actually. The Torah writes, "V'zeh mishpata." Here's how Nida works. Mishatira tibazdam afilu kechardo l'pachos. Bein bonus, bein baratzon. Whether she became a Nida because something happened that brought about her period. Sometimes there are things like that. There are some women, thankfully a small minority, but there are some women that every time they fly in an airplane will get their period, right? So, you know, something happens, ba'onis, so it's something they ate, or whatever. It doesn't matter how it happened. Monash shivayam ad yom im yom ri'iyasa, counting the day that she saw, it's 7 days full, v'tovelis b'lel shmini, and then she goes to the mikvah the night after, v'kach adin afilu shofas kol shiva, even if she bleeds all 7 days, rak shetivsok petara b'yom shvi'i, as long as she stops bleeding before Shkia on that seventh day, and that night she'll go to the mikvah. Ad achadasar yom, from day 8 through day, how would it be 11 days? Through day 18, right? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, yeah, checks out. From day 8 through 18, ad achadasar yom, Nikraim Yimei Ziva. So day 8 through 18, those are Ziva eligible days. So anytime she's going to bleed during that window, now she's going to become a Zava. Vehein shachacham korim lehem achad asiyom shemini delinida. And those 11 days are what Chazal referred to as the 11 days b'ni delinida. So what happens? The Torah goes on. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but the Torah goes on to say, if she bleeds during those days, at any point during those days, so she bleeds for one day, let's say on the fourth of those achad asiyom she bleeds, so she's tamei, and then on the fifth day of those achad asiyom, meaning the following day, she just has to make sure, she has to be shomer asiyom, keneged yom, make sure that she doesn't bleed that day, she goes to the mikveh, and she is fine. Mm-hmm. When does she go to the mikveh? Strictly speaking, she can go to the mikveh during the daytime. It doesn't have to be at night. She can go to the mikveh on day five, just make sure that she doesn't bleed later in the day, and then she's going to be fine. If she bleeds for 2 days of those achad asiyom, 2 consecutive days, of those achad asayom, in this sense, a zava is different than a zav. A zav, there are a number of ways. The sugis at the end of Maseches Nida explain to us how zav and zava differ from each other. One is that a zav doesn't—it's not blood by a zav; it's another kind of discharge. We just don't have it anymore. It's some sort of disease that we don't think we have. But zava is need of blood. It's a regular shedding of the uterine lining, right? So another one of the key differences is that zav, in order for zav to become tamei to the fullest extent, he's metamei biri'os kibiyamin. That even if it happens multiple times in the same day, it can still elevate his tumah status. Whereas zava, it would have to be consecutive days that it happens. So if she bleeds for 2 days, still just a zava ketan. So she needs one more day to be shomeres yom keneged yom. On that third day, make sure she doesn't bleed, go to the mikvah on that third day, and she is fine. If she does bleed on that third day, now she has 3 consecutive days during the yud aleph yom that she bled, she is now a zava gedola. As a zava gedola, she's not going to get away with just shomeres yom keneged yom, nor does she even get away with just 7 days of tumah. She's going to require what? Shiva nikiyim. 7 clean days, 7 consecutive days of not bleeding, of not being paletas shechazera, 7 clean days of no tumah coming out of her body. So that, and only then, at the end of those 7 days, on the 7th day, midaraisa, she can go to the mikveh. Right? On the 7th day, she would then go to the mikveh. That is the basic way that it plays out. So the Torah just points out that if what happens if the first 10 of Dira al-Yom Shabini Dunida pass and nothing happens, she doesn't bleed, which in most cases she wouldn't bleed, right? She was just a Nida like a week ago, right? So the first 10 days pass, nothing happens. Day 11 of Dira al-Yom Shabini Dunida, she begins to bleed. So is there a need for Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom? Meaning, what's going to happen when day 11 is over? What else ends with it? The Yimei Ziva. If the whole point of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom is to be on guard that you might be becoming a Zava Gedola, well, she's not. She can't. There's no way she could become a Zava Gedola. If she bleeds the day after, what's going to happen? What's she going to be? Anita. So there's no chance of becoming a Zava Gedola in this situation. So the Torah quotes from the Sugya Maseches Nida, Daf Nun Talit, Machlokes Rav Sheshet Rav Ashi, what the halach is, and the Torah writes that there's no need for Shimur. The Torah paskins there's no need for Shimur. Beis Yosef has 2 possibilities why the Torah paskins that way. Either the Torah holds like Rav Ashi against Rav Sheshet, and Rav Ashi holds that even midrabanan there's no requirement of Shimur. I mean, it's machlokas midaraisi for sure doesn't need Shimur. Question is, midrabanan do you require to be shomer yom keneged yom? So it could be that the Torah is just paskening not even midrabanan there's no chiyuv, or it could be the Torah saying no, midrabanan there is a chiyuv. But why would I mention that? Meaning, I'm the Torah, I'm running a halacha sefer. Everything we're saying today is going to be irrelevant, mahalacha. So yeah, I'm going to get into the details of the din midrabanan. We're just trying to give you a background of how zava and nida works. So the Torah says, I'm going to start getting involved that, you still need to be shomeres yom keneged yom, midrabanan, if you see on day yud aleph. It's not worth getting into. So that's the second possibility in the Beis Yosef quotes. And I'm sure you all saw that in the Beis Yosef. What if she starts bleeding on day 10? So that's machlokas, whether she needs to be machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish nida ayin beis amid beis, whether she needs to be shomeres yom on day 11. Meaning, do we say that shomer, as long as she's still in Yemei Ziva, she has to be shomeres yom? Or do we say no? The purpose of shomeres yom is to ensure that she's not becoming a zav gedola. I know for sure she's not becoming a zav gedola, because if she sees day 10, day 11, the next day, she can't be a zav gedola. It's already Yemei Nida. So what's the function of shomeres yom? Is shomeres yom that as long as you're still in the Yemei Ziva, you need to be shomeres yom of a previous day's re'iyah? Or no, shomeres yom is just to make sure that you're not becoming a zav gedola. But if there's no chance of her becoming a zav gedola, then there's no need for shomeres yom. So the Gemara has this whole machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish. Do we treat day 10 like day 9, which obviously requires shomeres yom? Or do we treat day 10 like day 11, which does not require shomeres yom? Beis Yosef writes that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that she does require shimur. Fine, we pass it, meaning we don't do any of this anymore, but that we would paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that would be the halacha that she'd require shimur. But here's the most fundamental machlokas in the whole thing. How do we calculate these days? How do we set up the calendar to be able to figure out? And it's worth going through this, even though, it, as we keep pointing out, this is not at all la halacha. It's worth going through it for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons I like going through this is not just because you should know what the Chumash says, which is also a good thing to do, but sometimes, you know, people look at the at Hilchos Nida as an example of something that is real rabbinic Judaism. It's not Torah Judaism, it's rabbinic Judaism. How far are we going to veer from what it actually is? Not veer, I shouldn't say it. How far beyond what the Torah requires are we going to go? And why is all this necessary? How many chumras, al-gabi chumras do we have to have in Hilchos Nida? So I want you to try to envision, as we go through this machlokas, a woman, a regular woman. And remember, this was mostly for a time in history when women, you know, not only were they not learning in GPATs or whatever, they weren't learning how to read Hebrew, right? Meaning women were completely uneducated. And imagine a woman trying to keep cheshbon of Yemei Nida, Yemei Ziva, and figuring out what's what. Right? What Chazal did, Chazal realized the complexity of the system. And that it was an untenable system. How did they realize it? From experience. They saw that it wasn't working, that people couldn't do it. So how exactly do we cheshbon it? Major machlokas. They call it machlokas Rambam Ramban. It's really machlokas Rambam and everybody else. Right? Exactly how this works. The Rambam Nuchsi Surabiyah Paragvav Alachavav. The Rambam writes, it's kedai to look up, that once a woman is kovea laveset, whatever that means, We'll for simplicity's sake, we'll translate that right now as once a woman gets her period, right? Once a woman is old enough to get her period, tisper li olam shiva mitchilas yom aveset, she counts 7 days from when she first got her period, va'achrein achadasar, and then 11 days, va'achrein shiva, va'achrein achadasar, and it's 7 and 11, and 7 and 11, v'tizar b'minyan kidei she Teida be'es shetira dam im bimei nida ra'asa o bimei ziva. Meaning, she can mark on her calendar at the age of 12 what the yimei nida and yimei ziva are going to be for the rest of her life. Because it's always going to go on a 7-day, 11-day cycle. Shekol yomeo shalisha kachin shiva yimei nida viral v'yimei ziva. It can get more complicated if Rambam writes and hits the kaleida in between. But on the symbol, if no major event happens, there's no major shinoi veset, there's no major event that happens, she can mark on a calendar 7 days, 11 days, 7 days, 11 days, which means that our cycle that we're working with is an 18-day cycle. Very counterintuitive kind of cycle to work with, because that's not normal. Now, it's true, when Rishonim give examples of veset, of how long a veset is, right? They say if a woman bleeds every 15 or 20 or 25 or 30 days, so they give like 15 days as almost like it's a possible reality. I mean, it's possible, but it's like that would be highly unusual and very depressing. I mean, they'd go to a doctor and take care of that like immediately, you know, if a woman was bleeding every 15 days. Steve Pesach Frank has an interesting shuva about a woman who talked about every 14 days, and you know, what they were able to do in the 1950s was not exactly what they're able to do in 2019. But still, even then, the Ona Beidus, the Gemara says, was 30 days. But the Ram says there's nothing to do with Ona Beidus. This is the cycle that they have. Comes along the Ramban in a couple of places. First of all, in the Hilchus Nidil Ramban, Perek Aleph, Osios Test through Yud Beis. The Ramban writes that that's not the way it works. He says, here's what happens. The Yud Aleph Yom Shevei Nidil and Nidah are over, Yemei Ziva are over. Then, after that, she just waits. Next time she bleeds will be the beginning of the Yemei Nidah. So if, let's say, days 8 through 18 pass and she doesn't bleed, which is pretty normal, and day 19 and 20 and 21 and 22 and 23 and 24 and 25 pass and she doesn't bleed, and on day 26 she bleeds. So 7 days of Nidah begin on day 26. According to the Rambam, no. The 7 days of Nidah began already on day 19. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and by day 26, she's back in Yemei Ziva, right? But according to the Ramban and Shah Rishonim, all the Rishonim, the day 26 is going to be whenever she bleeds next, that will kick off the Yemei Nida. Because again, that will kick off the 7 days of Nida. After the Yiral Yom are over, she's Nida eligible again, and the Ramban writes, V'hizahir b'minyan zeh, shekvar ta'a bo mi gedolei ha-machabri. He says, big people have made a mistake about how to do this cheshvin. Obviously, the Rambam, right? So you have to be very, very careful about this. The Ramban does not mince words over here. In Maseches Nida, in the commentary, in Chidush Ramban, Maseches Nida, Daf Nadal, Ramban Aleph, he says, Ubo v'nitzavach al divrei ha-Rambam. We need to go scream against the Rambam. Shekosat b'chiburo the Rambam, right? She'isha shoras etchila mona shivu l'nidasa. V'samach l'anacharasa. V'acharkach mona zayin l'nidas. He quotes the Rambam. This 7 and then 11 and then 7 and then 11. Even the, he says, he said, first of all, that's a mistake. And then he says, Ochi Beish Vakasan. Shafilu Rasa Chi Vasiri Vachavasar Shnemasar Harezu Zava Utchilas Nida. He says that that's called Zava Utchilas Nida. Vakol Elu Divrei Havai. He says, all of this is nonsense. Okay, this is going to get a little more complicated. It's going to get involved in the sugya Maseches Arachim. In fact, you know, let's move to that sugya Maseches Arachim. There's a riot, the biggest riot to the Ramban against the Rambam. The sugya Maseches Arachim Daf Ches. The Gemara talks about, what about the following case? You have a woman who wakes up one day from a coma. I don't know. She has no idea where she's holding. You may need her, you may ziva. Has no clue. So, is there a way to get her back on track? Right? Is she going to be confused forever? So the Gemara says, quotes a brisa, of chesam nalim, atoa sha'amr yomech atame v'isi, if she says, I bled for one day, just now. So what are the possibilities? She's either shomer sim chayim or she's a neither. So how can we get her to the point where we're going to know what she is? So you chesed now. According to the Rambam, is there a way to get her to the point where we know what she is? No, because unless you know what happened when she was 12 years old, and like you have that calendar, you're stuck. There's no way. According to the Ramban, Rashi, all the other Rishonim, how would you get her to the point where we know what she is? What do you need to happen? You need enough days to pass of her not bleeding till you can be confident that even if, worst case scenario, what would be worst case scenario? When she bled, she was Nida, it was one day, right? Where she was Nida. So worst case scenario is days 1 through 7 is Nida. And then the next 11 days are Ziva. And then by the following day, she knows, or any day after that, she knows that it's that the next time she bleeds is Yemei Nida. So the Gemara goes through such a cheshbon that ta sha'amra yomecha tamir reisi pischa shavasar, that even if it was tchilas yemei nidos, she only needs 6 more days of yemei nida and then 11 days of yemei ziva, and then after that she's going to be fine. That's a very strong raya, very strong raya to the Ramban, and that's really the primary raya. And Beis Yosef quotes, this is not just Ramban, it's Rashi, Maseches Arachim, it's Rabbeinu Yonah, Maseches Brachos, it's the Rov Rishon. If you look at the Chavos Das, we're not going to get into the details. Chavos Das thinks that there's a way to be Metari, it's the Ramban, from the Sugya of Maseches Arachim. That it's the Sugya over there is talking about being Koveh Veset, it's talking about a totally different topic. We're not in Vestos right now, so we're not going to get into it right now. But he thinks that there is a way to be Miyashev, there has to be, obviously, a way to be Miyashev, that Gemara with the Ramban. How do we Paskin? Obviously, it seems that most Paskin like the Ramban. So much so, it's so obvious that most Paskin like the Ramban, you know, most of Siman Kuf Pei Gimel in the Torah and Beis Yosef does not make it into Shulchan Aruch, for obvious reasons. All of this is not Halacha L'maisa. But one thing that does make it onto the page in Shulchan Aruch is the Shach gets very upset that one of the Gedolei Achronim wanted a Paskin like the Ramban. Who's that? Who does he get upset about? Anyone catch the Shach? The Levush. The Levush tries to Paskin like the Ramban and drives the Shach nuts. In Sivkat and Dal, the Shach writes, Ayin Vatar Zav, the Levush, Sheherich Bazeh, Avshein Unog Bizman Hazeh. He says, first of all, he goes into such detail about this, even though none of this is known Bizman Hazeh. The Kosovo Basov, and at the end he writes, that the reason I go into detail about this is because this is the basis, this is the ground level of everything that we're going to learn about. So you're right, none of it's halacha l'maisa, but this is where it all comes from. You have to see where it comes from, the pesukim in the Torah, how it goes through Divrei Chazal. But then he goes on to say, v'kibul chazal halacha l'maisa m'sinai, sheyiral v'yom yesh achar shevim enida, this language is very much Rambam language. Because of Midin Torah, says the Shach, that's a Rambam. He said, this is the Rambam that Levush is quoting. I don't get it. Why would he be quoting the Rambam? All the other poskim disagree. And toward the end of Sivkat Dal, he writes, V'teima shatar zav gufei kasav. And he says, you know what kind of Gedolei poskim disagree with the Rambam? The Ramban and the Rabbeinu Yonah and Rashi and the Levush. You yourself. Where does the Levush disagree? Siman Kuf Peites, Siflamid Beis. The Levush talks about how a woman could be koveh veset be amezi vasa. That a woman will establish a pattern that she sees dam on a consistent basis, always during the Yemei Ziva. And Levush sets it up. How could that happen? That she sees dam consistently during Yemei Ziva. She says, Ketzah. Rasa b'Rosh Chodesh. If she sees dam in Rosh Chodesh, the Chazar of Rasa b'Tes Vav Vav. And then she sees dam on the 15th day of the month. So when she sees in Rosh Chodesh, look what happens. Imagine it's the first time ever seeing dam. Rosh Chodesh. Nida. Good. So she needed for 7 days. Then she sees dam again on Tes Vav Bo. What happens? Zava. Good. He omedes v'yom shurim l'ziva. Right? That's in the Yeral v'yom shurim l'ziva. The Chaz of Rab Rosh Chodesh. Then she sees the next Rosh Chodesh, which is after the 11 days of Ziva are over, and therefore Nida. Ubites Vav Bo. And again on the 15th day, which is Zava. The Chazra of Rasa B'Tesvav L'Chodesh V'lo Ra'asa B'Rosh Chodesh Shalafana. And then, the following month, she sees on day 15 of the month, but not on Rosh Chodesh. What's that then? If she never saw Rosh Chodesh, but she sees on Tesvav, what does it make her? Nida, right? But the majority of her Re'ios were in Yimei Ziva, and it's still a Kviyas Vesa. She's seeing on the Tesvav of every month. The first two times it was during Yimei Ziva. The last time it was during Yimei Nida. And that's how the Levush sets it up. According to the Rambam, none of that makes sense. According to the Rambam, what happens? First month, she sees on day one. So she's in Nida for 7 days. Then Yimei Ziva are days 8 through 18. Then Yimei Nida are days 19 through 25. Right? And then, when she sees in Rosh Chodesh for the following month, whether it's Malay or Chaser, what's that according to the Rambam? Neziva. So the Levush's example that he gives, Masiach Vituma, he just gives an example, is an example of Ramban, Rashi, Rabbeinu Yonah. It's not a Rambam example. So the Shach says, aside from the fact that the Levush is wrong for passing like the Rambam, the Levush is wrong for passing against himself. Yeah?
The Rambam's question of 18 days is irrelevant if she has a festival that's every day in the same month, and you even within the 18-day cycle.
So that's complicated, right?
But that would be this case, huh?
She's first establishing the Vesel over here. Right? So she does not yet have the Vesel.
She already had a Vesel for the 15th of the month, and it was out of
order. That would be a different story. I mean, if there's an actual Shinui Veset, that would be a different story. But over here, she doesn't have a Veset yet. I mean, she has some sort of Veset. I mean, whatever the Rambam meant by it starts when she first has a Veset, that she had, but she doesn't have this kind of Veset. So this is the Raya. This is why the Shach gets all upset. So it comes along the Achronim and they say, you know, the Shach just has to read a little bit further in the Levush, and he would have seen that the Levush never passed on like the Rambam. The Torah Sashlami, which is on the bottom of the page in Shulchan Aruch, in El Skimel, or on the side of the page in the New Fancy Shulchan Aruch, he writes, Shach Zivkot Dalet Hetik Rak Tchilas Divrei Levush. He only quotes the beginning of the Levush. Al Kein Haven Shadaito Kedasa Rambam V'Yisagalam. And that's why he gets all upset. Ugamas Varev Hema Kaloshna Tor Mamish. He says, if you look carefully at the Levush, you'll see that the Levush is not really paskening like that. In much more detail, the Makar Mayim Chaim, according to the Ultimate Mefarshim on the bottom of the page of the Shulchan Aruch, also says that the Shach misunderstood the Levush. And he says, when the Levush writes, Zayin Yemei Dinda, Yudalv Yemei Ziva, V'chein Kol Yameha, it means, V'chein Kol Yameha, that next time she bleeds, it will again kick off, Zayin Yemei Nida, Yudalv Yemei Ziva. But not that the end of the Yemei Ziva kicks off a new Zayin Yemei Nida. It's that once Yudalv Yom are over, the next bleeding is going to kick off a new Zayin Yemei Nida and Yudalv Yemei Ziva. Good. So that's the basic machlokes Rishonim. We have just to quickly review basic machlokes Rishonim between the Rambam and everybody else. How we chesben the Yemei Nida and the Yemei Ziva. The Rambam holds it's a continuous cycle 7-11, 7-11, 7-11, and the other Rishonim say no. It's whenever she bleeds, it starts the Yemei Nida again. Once the Yemei Nida are over, she has 11 days of Yemei Ziva. If she doesn't bleed, it's only when she bleeds next, which could be weeks later, that the Yemei Nida are going to start again. Good. The Raya from the Gemara and Eirchin. The Gemara and Eirchin seemed to clearly be assuming against the Rambam. The Shach was upset that the Levush seems to pass like the Rambam, but all the other Achronim say, of course, he was not really passing like the Rambam. Some questions?
I understand the Rambam's position. How is she ever Tahura if it's 7-11, 7-11?
She doesn't bleed.
When is she not going to bleed?
Let's say she bleeds. Let's take an average woman who bleeds every 30 days, right? January 1st, she bleeds. She's tamei for those 7 days. Goes to the mikveh that night. She's tahara. Until she bleeds again. She doesn't bleed again. She's tahara. Forever. Right? It's just that when we say 7-11, 7-11, it means days that are eligible. Nida eligible is other eligible days. According to the Rambam, Tumas Nida could extend into Yemei Ziva. Should I say that again? According to the Ram, let's say she bleeds on day 5 of Yemei Nida. How long is she tummy for? 7 days. When did Yemei Ziva start? 3 days later, right? Before the Tumah ends. So her Tumas Nida is going to go into the Yemei Ziva. You understand why, like, an average woman who can't read Hebrew or Aleph Beis might have trouble? Right, with these telling her, this is your cycle, this is my cycle, this has nothing to do with my cycle, right? Meaning this was something Chazal had trouble with it. But
so usually, yeah, the Rambam's count was like very formalistic, like
yes,
days were always 7 and 11.
Yes, days. Yes, has nothing to do with reality.
So what's this? Yeah, what's this far?
Halacha Mosh Misin.
According to the Ramban, if you're a Zavah Gedolah, it resets the counting when.
Yeah.
In other words, say you're a Zavah Gedolah and you have six clean days, but then the seventh day they're in for that, then.
Then your main needs do not start again.
You keep getting pushed off.
Till your tahara, your main needs will not start again. Yeah? What gets tricky is, what if she's not tahara, but she could have been? Right? So that lechara should start your main needs again. What if a woman just doesn't go to the mikvah? Okay, we're not getting into that. So what are the differences between zava and nida? Lahalacha, what are the differences between zava and nida? So there are, let's see, how many differences? Four differences that I could think of? Four differences. Let's start, the simplest one is the karban, right? The zava gedola brings a karban. A nida does not bring a karban. So that's simplest one. Tinek mikveh, they're not shechting birds, right? As we discussed last time. So that's the simplest difference. All the differences are pretty simple. Another difference is tevila done. Well, let me walk back here. Another difference would be what kind of water she needs to go to the mikveh in. Rashi in Midah Daf Samach Zayin quotes his Rebbeim who say that you need mayim chayim for a zava. And Rashi quotes a Tosefta that proves that they're wrong, because the Tosefta tries to distinguish between nida and ziva and does not point that out as a difference. But Rashi in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Zayin and Moed Katan Daf Chafei says that a zava does need mayim chayim, so it's a stira in Devei Rashi. A nida does not need mayim chayim. What's mayim chayim? Yeah, like a spring, a natural spring, as opposed to mikveh is still water. Where did Rashi's Rebbeim get the idea from that you need mayim chayim? So it happens to be there are many Rishonim that seem to say the Ramban in Vayikra Perek Tezvav says that the simple reading of Chumash is that she should need mayim chayim because a zav needs mayim chayim. The Ramban says lahalacha she doesn't, but you could see where you would get it from the Chumash that a zav and zava are similar. So that's a second possible difference. A third possible difference is, I mean, not possible difference, third absolute difference is how many days of Tumah, right? And do you need seven clean days, right? If Anida, and this we already discussed, right? Anida is Tameh for 7 days total. I don't care how long she bleeds for, as long as she stops bleeding by the end of the seven. A Zava, even if she's Zava Gadola, I mean, especially only if she's Zava Gadola, requires 7 clean days. So that's a huge difference in terms of how we treat her la'alacha. What's it going to take for her to be tahora? The difference that's most interesting in Lamdas is when can she go to the mikvah? Right? The Torah set it up. When does it need to go to the mikvah? What time of day does it need to go to the mikvah? Night. The eighth night. Meaning after all 7 days are over, following night she goes to the mikvah. When does a zava go to the mikvah? The seventh clean day she goes to the mikvah. Even Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, she can go to the mikvah on that day of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. If she bleeds on Monday, Tuesday morning, she can wake up and go to the mikvah. She still has to make sure she doesn't bleed on Tuesday. Right? But by Zava, we have this notion of Miksas Yom Kikulam by Zava that we don't have by Nida. The Torah says,
say again, she bleeds on Monday.
She can go to the mikvah Tuesday morning.
This is for Zava
Gedola. For Zava Ketan. If she bleeds Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then she can go to the mikvah on Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Wednesday day, right? Wednesday morning, she can go to the mikvah and she will be fine as long as she doesn't then subsequently bleed.
But she still has to wait an additional day, right?
For Zava. What do you mean? Wait till the day is over, you say?
Yeah,
so that's what we get into right now. Right, so she can go to the mikveh, and assuming that it's uneventful and nothing happens afterwards, she will be tahor, right? And she's really tahor right then. It's just a question of if she bleeds later, it might lemafreya ruin her. But as soon as she comes out of the mikveh, she's tahor. Mitzvah kikulo, she's perfectly fine. Beis Yosef quotes machlokas how to understand the Gemara in Nida Samach Zayin and Beis. That says, "Aval asu chachamim lasos kein shema tavul yidei safek." Right, a zava can go to the mikvah during the day, says the Gemara, but the Chacham said, "You better not do that. Shema tavul yidei safek. Better not do what?" So Rashi and Tosfos say that it's also for her to be tovelas. she can't go to the mikveh during the day. Simple reading. A zav is allowed to go to the mikveh during the day, but asru chachamim asus came. The chacham said, don't do that. Rif, Rambam, and Tur seem to say, Beis Yosef quotes all this, she can be tavelas during the day. That hasn't changed. What can't she do during the day? She can't have tashmish during the day. Why? She goes to the mikveh, you know, she wakes up, let's say, 8 o'clock in the morning, goes to her spin class in the gym and whatever, and showers, goes to the mikveh at 10 o'clock in the morning, and her husband's off from work, they have tashmish at lunchtime, let's say. Right? What's so terrible about that? She already went to the mikveh.
Right.
What if she bleeds afterwards? So it's too risky, because if she bleeds out, most of the time, a couple is together, and then if she bleeds afterwards, that's not my problem, right? She bleeds afterwards, she's going to be tamei mikam lahava. It's not going to ruin anything l'mafreya. So if a couple had tashmish on Monday, and then she bleeds on Tuesday, that's fine. She was tahora at the time. But if it's still on day 7, and then she bleeds, it's going to be mitamei her l'mafreya. Too risky. That's also chum nasus kain in the Rambam, the Rif's understanding. She can go to the mikvah, but it's just too risky to have tashmish to go to the mikvah. So Beis Yosef asks that in Siman Kuf Tzadi Zayin, the Torah says, like Rashi and Tosos, that she can't be tovelas, and yet over here, the Torah says that she just can't have tashmish. Right? The Torah writes, V'tovelas v'yomashri l'achar netzacham miyad, she can go to the mikvah, 7th day, Ella, Shasura, the Shamish. You just can't have Tashmish. So Beis Yosef points out that Torah is against what the Torah writes in Siman Kuf Tzadi Zayin. So Beis Yosef has two ways to be Miyashah, the student of the Torah. Again, clear over here? There's Machlok Rishon. The Gemara says in Masechet Nida. The Gemara says in Masechet Nida that a Zava can go to the mikvah during the day and even be with her husband on the 7th day. But Asru Chachamim Lasus came. Chacham said, don't do that. So what's that? So Rashi and Tosafot said, that is, don't. Rashi and Tosafot understand, it means don't go to the mikvah. Don't start this whole process. The tour and the Rambam and the Rif assume, what's don't do that? Go to the mikvah, it's fine. What's don't do that? Don't have tashmish. Right? Problem is, the tour in some Kuf Tzadi Zayin says, not only can't she have tashmish, she can't even go to the mikvah, they said. So how we miyashev the steer in the tour? So Beis Yosef has two possibilities. First possibility is that maybe the tour learns like Rashi and Tosafot. And when he says Tovelas Biyom, he means Midaraisa she's Tovelas Biyom. Meaning, the tour over here, Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, is totally not Halacha L'maisa. So he's not going to try to be accurate B'Halacha, because the whole thing's irrelevant. In Kuf Tzadi Zayin, we're already into Hilchos Nida. You can see next week we're going to be into things that actually, like, bear some resemblance to halacha, right? Over here, we're still in background. And the Torah knows that. The Torah's like, you know, this is chapter 183. I'm not in halacha right now. So I'm going to tell you the din d'oraisa. The din d'oraisa is you can go to the mikvah on day 7. But in Chanami, the Torah paskins that you're not allowed to go to the mikvah on day 7. Mit Rabbanan. He's just not interested in talking about that right now. What's the problem with that approach? What does the Torah say you're not allowed to do over here in some Kuf Pei Gimel? He says, you're not allowed to have tashmish. Is that a din d'oraisa? On day 7, not to have tashmish. That's only drabban. So how come the Torah quotes that din drabban and not this din drabban? So Beis Yosef says, you have to say that certain behavior is so risky that even need d'oraisa you can't do. It's just too... on a d'oraisa level, you're not allowed to take risks with your ruchnias. Going to the mikvah is not a risk in ruchnias. Having tashmish, knowing that any further bleeding that day will make her tummy l'mafreya, and it's out of your hands, there's nothing you can do about it, that's a ruchni stick of risk that there's no way the Torah allows. That's mahalik number one in the Beis Yosef. So again, mahalik number one in the Beis Yosef in the setting of the tour is midaraisa, she can go to the mikvah on day 7, she can have tashmish on day 7, midrabana, not only can they not have tashmish on day 7, she can't even go to the mikvah on day 7. Two Isurim Drabanan. But no, that first Isur of not having Tashmish on day 7, it would be so risky to have Tashmish on day 7, that must be an Isur Daraisa of some sort. Not going to the mikvah on day 7, that's purely Drabanan. He doesn't need to quote that here in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel.
That's
doesn't the Torah quote other Yisroelim that are born within this segment?
When he gets to how we then transition from this to what we do, meaning once he starts getting into the Drabanans. But over here he's presenting the Daraisas.
What about like at the beginning where he introduces Ri'ya and that she comes also through Ri'ya, isn't that only Drabanan?
No, I don't think so. No, at the beginning, what does he say? No, this is all Din Daraisa, with Hargasha Dafka. This is all Daraisa. Only later in the Siddur does he get into the Drabanans. He's totally in Daraisa land right now.
We hold it to Kakula, so why shouldn't it be done? Why shouldn't it be sourced for the count?
Oh, we'll get there, we'll get there. So now, we'll get to Maksiyam Kakula, hopefully we'll have some time for it. The second Mahalik Beis Yosef has in the Torah is that maybe he learns like the Rif and the Rambam, that she can be Toveles, she just can't have Tashmish. There's no real Isser Tevila. But the Rabbanan added a later Isser Tevila, and meaning when the Gemara said Asru Chachamim Lasos Kain, that was going on Tashmish, and he passes like the Rif and the Rambam, that's in Tashmish. But it's a later Din Darabanan to also avoid Tevila. So over here he's only quoting the early Din Darabanan, not the the Din Darabanan as understood from that sugya. There's a separate Din. I won't that separate Din be Gzeira L'Gzeira? No, we're talking about an Isser Kares over here, so we it's worth making a Gzeira L'Gzeira when it's an Isser Kares. Meaning people often think a Chazal can never make a Gzeira L'Gzeira. Not really true. They make Gzeira L'Gzeira sometimes. The Gemara says, right? Kulacha the Gzeira, you come up with ways that you could do a Gzeira L'Gzeira. So says the Beis Yosef, an Isser Kares is severe enough that they made one Din Drabanan and she shouldn't have Tashmish on day 7. And then they later made another Din Drabanan and also don't go to the mikvah on day 7. I Gzeira L'Gzeira, but this is Nida, this is Isser Kares. We have to be very careful about Isser Kares. This whole idea of going to the mikvah on day 7 assumes mitzvah siyum kakula. Right? It assumes, the Torah says you have to count 7 days. When you count the days of Sfira Sa'omer, right? So mitzvah siyum kakula? No, there's no mitzvah siyum kakula. In Sfira Sa'omer, and counting all 49, right? You can't start Shavuos, or be done with Sfira Sa'omer. It has to be Tamimos before the day is actually over. What about the availus of Sfira? The same as Yom Kippur? When do we start shaving and listening to music and all that? During Sfira? On the day, right? Mitzvah Yom Kippur for sure. What about Shiva? Mitzvah Yom Kippur, yeah? What about Tisha B'Av? Why not? Isn't Tisha B'Av just availus? So we said, here are the models of availus. We have Shiva, we have Shloshim, and we have Sfira. In all of those, we say Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Comes Tisha B'Av, where it's Avelus. There's no Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Why can't you just fast, for breakfast? Skip breakfast. And have your morning coffee at 11 o'clock instead of, 6 o'clock in the morning. That's all. So why not? And why yes by Zava? We're going to say Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So this is a discussion Rav Shechter has in the Ikvei Atzon, in Simin Yud Zayin. He points out in Yod Zohar Gaon that kol mitzvos hanogos ba'avol hanogos b'tish b'av, and both by Shiva and Shloshim we say mitzvah yom kakula. So how come by Tish B'av we don't say mitzvah yom kakula? He then quotes a Gilyoni Ashas in Nazir Dafheim Beis, where I guess Vengel raises the question, why don't we say Mitzvah Yom Kippur on Shabbos and Yom Tov? That would make for much easier Shabbos and Yom Tov. Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So he says, the Gilyoni Ashas, right, Rav Vengel writes, you can't say Mitzvah Yom Kippur on Shabbos and Yom Tov because that's Kedusha. You never want to end Kedusha early. Adrab, you need to be Moses Lechol Ola Kodesh. It's only by negative things that we say Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So Rav Yosef Engel quotes that from the Rama Mipanu, and then he says, what are you talking about? Nezirus, we say Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Nezirus is Kedusha. So don't tell me we don't end Kedusha early. We end Kedusha early sometimes. So what's the var? So Rav Shechter said, Shemati mikvod Rabbeinu Zal, I heard from Rav Salvechik, an Indian Mitzvah Yom Kippur lo shayich ela bimelos. Mixiyam Kula only applies to a malos. And that's what Soloveitchik said. And then he left it to the Talmidim to figure out what in the world that means. Right? What does that mean? That it's a malos. Mixiyam Kula only applies to malos. So Shach said, my understanding of what Rav Soloveitchik meant is that when it comes to Ziva, when it comes to Avelis, these are not days that are kavua in the calendar. Like, oh, what days are the days of Shiva and Shloshim? No, it depends when the person died. It depends whose relative you're talking about. What are the days of Ziva? Depends when she bleeds. It's not like you can look at the calendar in advance and say, oh, these are going to be the days of... These aren't days that are kavua in the calendar. They're superimposed on the calendar. He says that's when we say Mitzvah Kukula. But when something is a calendar day, you can't say Mitzvah Kukula because it's still that calendar day. Meaning you can say Mitzvah Kukula that the day will end early when the day is not bound to the calendar. I know that there has to be 7 days of sitting Shiva, but it doesn't have to be on any particular calendar days. So that seventh day could be Mitzvah Kukula, will end early. But if I know that there is a day, the ninth day of Av, that has to be a day of mourning, if I end it in the M-O-R-N-I-N-G, then the rest of the day is still Tisha B'Av. You can't end the calendar day early. Question?
Couldn't you also say what it means is that it's when it's on the last, meaning when it's completing, and you're
in
day seven?
We'll get there as well. I don't know if we'll get there, but he gets there. Yeah.
And that will be shot with light bomber, so when that will be partially calendar date. The sphere starts from a set date, so when you get to light bomber, why can't you within this shot or shot this further up? So then if you get to light bomber, is that
Mitzvah Kukula?
Meaning, why are you allowed to say?
Why are you allowed to say? Oh, good. So he discusses that. So why by light bomber would you be allowed to say Mitzvah Kukula? Because there's no such thing as bomber. Meaning, what's the halacha in terms of? I'm not making like some anti-neo-Hasidic. That's for a different time. That's not what we're doing here. What's the Avelis of 33 days? Where does it come from? So you look at the Rishonim and you look at the Mishabura. Forget Rishonim. Look at the Mishabura. What are the days of Avelis that you're supposed to have during Sfira? There are like five different shittos in Rishonim. Oh, it's all the days except for the Rosh Chodesh days, the Yantif days, and this days, that day, right? It's Rosh Chodesh till the end. It's this. There is no set calendar day. It's just that there's got to be 33 days in there. And that's why you're all over the map in terms of when those days are. Because there isn't really a set calendar day for the Avelis of Sfira. And that's why you're allowed to say Mitzvah Kukula. The fact that Lag Ba'omer has some additional significance, that's really got nothing to do on a halachic level with the Avelis of Sfira that the Gemara refers to, of Mesa Talmid Rabbi Akiva. Right? Lag Bomer has nothing to do with Talmid Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara never mentions Lag Bomer. The other significance of not saying Tachmon on Lag Bomer, right? Some suffer says, what's the significance of Lag Bomer? Say, you don't say Tachmon on it. That relates to something outside of Talmid Rabbi Akiva. Right? That relates to the, you know, Ramal's Yartzei. That relates to Shun Bar Yochai's Yartzei, the Giloy of the Zohar, whatever it is. It's something else. But the Avelus has nothing to do with it. So, it could be that you take a break from the Avelus according to some of the Cheshvanos. Yeah.
Shavuos doesn't have a set calendar date.
Shavuos is an interesting one, right? It doesn't have a set calendar date. And yet, we don't say Mitzvah Kukula. So it does now have a set calendar date, right? Initially, it didn't. But meaning it's the wrong, it might be the wrong day, it's Machlokes Tanayim, but it does have the set calendar date. It's interesting when we talk about, Rashach talks about Tisha B'Av Nidre, like this past year, when you're observing Tisha B'Av on Yud. So he says, probably what you'd have to say, he writes this in a footnote, probably what you'd have to say is that Tisha B'Av Be'etzem has a set calendar date. And we know that there is that day, that Tisha B'Av is not just about a random day. The Gemara says that, you know, Atem b'chizim b'chiyah shalchinam and yet v'lechem b'chiyah l'doros. You chose to cry for nothing on this day, and therefore this day is going to be a day of b'chiyah l'doros. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the first time. And the second time, all the korban, all the terrible things that have happened on Tisha B'Av didn't happen to happen on Tisha B'Av. They dafka happened on Tisha B'Av because it's that day. So it could be that anything that's Tisha B'Av observed takes on the rules of Tisha B'Av. The Rav Shach said that maybe that's with Shivas B'Tamas and Sar B'Teves. You'd say the same thing, that there were koveya a particular day in the luach, and that's what. But let's get to Nida. I will start it. I'll tell you. Take a look in Simon Yizayin Bikveat Son, and we'll at least start saying it. Tosfos Nida Dafayin Alfam Beis Dibra Maskal Aroa writes, and according to Rashi, just like there's machlokas of Yosef and Chamin about a zava that's tovelis in the morning of day 7, and then sees later that day whether she's so ser lemafreya, there's also machlokas whether a zava could be tovelis on Lel Zayin or only on Yom Zayin. Somehow these two things are related to each other. There's a machlokas, what happens if someone goes to the mikvah in the morning of day 7 and then sees Dav later that day? Is she Tamei L'Mafreya or not? And there's also machlokas, can a Zava be Tovelis on Lel Zayin? And Tosfos assumes those two machlokas are related to each other. So Rav Shach goes from a Salvage, here's how they're related. How exactly does Mitzvah Yom Kekula work? There are two ways to understand. One way to understand Mitzvah Yom Kekula is that it's a din that the day is split into 2 days. That you have the right to say that the first half of the day is one day, the second half of the day is another day. Meaning, if you're counting Shloshim, let's say, after someone's death, right? Day Shiva, first half of the day is last day of Shiva, second half of the day is first day of Shloshim, that's actually two different days in the Cheshbon. That a single day gets to be split into 2 different days. The other way to understand Mitzvah Yom Kekula is that it's not that the day ends early. The day doesn't end early. It's that you only need a nihug of that day, whatever you do to observe that day, whatever action you do to observe that day, you only need to do a nihug at some point on that day. And that's good enough to carry you through the rest of the day. The nihug doesn't have to go any further. The whole day is really that day. But the nihugim of that day, for example, sitting shiva, sitting on the floor, not wearing leather shoes, those are nihugei avelus. The whole 7th day is really 7th day of shiva, and shloshim doesn't start till the next day. But the nihugim of avelus only have to be done for part of the day. That's the second way to understand Mitzvah Yom Kekula. Now think it through. If you're going to have someone who goes to the mikvah on day 7 and then bleeds later, if you assume that as soon as she goes to the mikvah, day 7's over. Now we're on to day 8, even though it's the same day. What's the bleeding later going to do? Nothing. Bleeding later will only make her tummy mikana lava. It's not going to be mitami or lemafreya. Day 7 was already over. But if you assume that you need nihugin, but only for part of the day, but the entire day is still the day. The entire day 7 is still day 7. When she bleeds later on day 7, she's tummy lemafreya. And what about tevila b'layla? With this, we'll close. If you say Mitzvah Yom Kekula is that you split the day, it could be that you need a nihug on that last day. And therefore, it could be that even at night, you'll have a din Mitzvah Yom Kekula. But if you hold, you don't need a nihug on that day, and therefore even at night, you would say Mitzvah Yom Kekula. Meaning, if she would go to the mikveh at night, that would be fine as well. Because there's no need for a nihug. But if it's purely a din in the nihug has to be in that day that the nihug happens. So therefore it can't be done at night. So that's why these two machlokos are related to each other. Rush through a little bit at the end, but you can take a look. It's in Be'ikvei Atzon. Bez Hashem, next time we'll move on to the topic of how we get from there to here. Right? How do we get from all of this Yimei Ziva, Yimei Nida, to Tipas Dam Kechardel, and she's all of a sudden Yashem Shiva Nikir. Next time tomorrow. We'll be learning tomorrow. Okay.